And our Ask the Mayor audio version of Mayor on Duty. Appreciate the mayor showing up every week and just letting us know what's going on in town. Here we have daylight savings time that begins next Sunday. That sneaks up on me all the time.
I love that changeover in spring. And to be quite frank, this has been a cold, hard winter, and I'm looking forward to warmer weather.
Right in time for the start of your running pretty soon. Mm-hmm. All right, that special March 12th meeting and to appoint the new board member. And you'll also talk about the food and wine festival and things that maybe we might have to change.
We will have that meeting on March the 12th, starting at 3 o'clock in the community building. The first item on the agenda will be an interview process for the people that have applied. I want to, again, emphasize I appreciate everyone who's been willing to submit an application and go through this process. But I hope the people that do not get the appointment will continue to stay committed and interested in town government.
Maybe, I don't know if anybody was aware, but did you see the mayor was out and about walking downtown?
Well, last Saturday, I stopped off at Buck's and got a cup of coffee and looked at every store and shop on Main Street and on 4th Street, just to kind of get an idea of how things were. Looked in the windows, noticed that we have a lot of clothing shops, especially for women. But I just walked around looking at the sidewalk, looking at the infrastructure, talked to a couple of the merchants. One of the things that was interesting was if we have good weather now in the winter, on a weekend, we still have people that come downtown. And you and I have both been here, Steve, for many years, and we remember in the winter, all the stores were papered over their windows, and they were closed down. But now it seems it's worthwhile to continue operations throughout the year because we do have traffic on good weekends. And, for example, this weekend, Tim Root has said it's going to be good, and that's what's happened. And I expect people to be downtown.
The downtown projects and the hotel, I have not heard the blasting, but you were saying there's some blasting going on. It could end next week.
Yes. Before I get to the blastings, I will say that some of the merchants were concerned about certain sections of the sidewalks being blocked off, and they were, because there was the demolition project on the corner of 4th and Main. They had to close off the sidewalks to get that material out. The Highlands Inn had a project that was going on replacing some posts, and that section was blocked off. All the sidewalks are reopened. When the construction begins on that project on the corner of 4th and Main, the requirement will be to put up scaffolding and a protective covering so people can still use the sidewalk while construction is going on. On the hotel sidewalk, that's going to be closed down, that sidewalk fronting 64. You've got crosswalks by the town hall and then a light at that corner, so people just have to use the other sidewalk on the other side of the street. You ask about blasting.
It's almost like an implosion. I don't hear really a big blast. It's less, they'll drill a hole and
they drill a hole, I don't know how many feet they go down, usually at least 10 feet. They'll put blasting material there. They put a big mat over that area of tire material and then detonate the blast. We could feel it at town hall. The people in charge of the blasting, it's our understanding that this coming week they'll be doing a lot of blasting, and hopefully by the end of the week, they will be wrapping up that phase of the excavation process for the hotel. And we've encouraged the merchants and everyone, if you're going to be doing construction or renovation or improvements, this is the time to do it. We don't want to see sidewalks being blocked off or disruption when we have a full town of shoppers and visitors.
No, it's not anybody's imagination, but people are realizing this is a great place to invest their money. And it's a renovation going on in the Highlands Plaza, a new store coming in.
If someone's building a structure that's permitted in that zone, and the function of that facility will be already allowed in the zoning district, they don't have to go through a review with the zoning board, the planning board, and the town board to get permission. They have to get permits from our code enforcement and zoning office, and then they have to get permits for construction from the county. But as long as they're not doing a use that's not permitted or it requires a special use permit for what they want to do and operate, you can renovate and then set up your business. It's not that we have to approve the operation of all new businesses that are coming into the town. That's why we have zoning and we have permitted uses. And if you're within those permitted uses and you're going to get a permit and go through the review of the building inspectors and our inspectors, you meet all the codes, then have at it, set up your business, and get underway as soon as possible.
The newspapers coming out every Thursday, of course, the Highlander and the Highlands newspaper, a great story on redistricting in the Highlands newspaper, and also we saw in the Highlander, the Macon County Planning Board reduced to 5 members, and hope we still have our voice.
Well, that's one of the last things when I spoke to the issue before the County Board of Commissioners. Please don't let our voice be diminished in Highlands as the same feelings were in the town of Franklin. And here again, I think that action has diminished our voice. It is in the context of makeup of the planning board and redistrict. I worry that our voice is becoming less and less. And I hope that as a county with all the different people throughout the county start looking at options for redistricting, that the towns in the county are able to have a strong voice in the way the Board of Commissioners for the county are made up and the representation of people in the county. I was very interested in reading that article in the Highlands newspaper concerning all the experts from the School of Government, our local director of the Board of Elections, about what are the options for redistricting. People from all over the county were saying, let's look at options, let's look at possibilities, and not rush to judgment and make a quick decision. And I hope going into the next year, that process of careful review as the way we select representatives for the county will continue and be implemented.
We have one of the best fire stations in the area, I believe, and I know that's many other people have said that, and our firefighters, and you had a great dinner.
The firefighters always have an annual dinner. It was at the OEI Spring House.
Nice.
The awards for the Firefighter of the Year was made by the chief, and that was Jacob Pressler. He's a full-time firefighter, and what's so impressive about his professional development as a firefighter is that Jacob, during the year, went back to get several certifications. One was Swift Water Rescue. Jacob also got a certification in car extraction. If someone is trapped in a vehicle from an auto accident, the first responders for responsible for extracting a person, and they have the jaws of life and all these techniques for carefully removing someone. So congratulations to Jacob. Our guys are always training and improving their skills. We should be proud of all the people that are willing to serve in our fire department.
And we've got one of the youngest firefighters. I'm kidding, but you were telling me that Roger Lee Wilson, he got a wonderful award for doing something for 31 years.
That's right. Captain Roger Lee Wilson. You know, Steve, when we were kids, we used to get certificates if we had a perfect attendance at school. And most kids, you might be able to do it for 1 year or 2 years. Eventually, you're going to be sick or miss a day of school. Roger Lee was given a certificate for having perfect attendance to the Tuesday night fire training drills that the firefighters are expected to attend. This wasn't just for this year. Roger Lee has received that perfect attendance for 31 years straight. My gosh, what a commitment Roger Lee Wilson has made to this community to continually train and be prepared to respond to almost any kind of event as a volunteer firefighter.
And with the number of calls coming in to the fire station, you were mentioning 986 calls, and that continues to grow.
It was up about, I think, 100 calls from the previous year. And I talked to the fire chief, Ryan Gearhart, and he says, looking at the calls that we have already, we're scheduled to go well above 1,000. But that's a part of the commitment that the firefighters have to protecting and serving this community. And it's a growing commitment. It's a growing need. And I'm just so proud of all the people associated with our Highlands Fire Department.
And of course, coming up, we have the retreat. And this is when you're spending extravagant amounts of money. What do you guys do for your retreat?
Steve, don't get me started on this. You know, right. I always hear little innuendos about, and in fact, there was a municipality in Western Carolina that just had their retreat about 2 weeks ago, and they went to a resort area and had a big dinner and on Friday night and did some fellowship and bonding together, and then they had their retreat at a retreat center. Our retreat center is the Highlands Community Building. Our big banquet is that we'll get to eat submarine sandwiches or chicken in a box from one of our wonderful local providers. It's not extravagant, but we will meet all day starting at 9 o'clock on the 11th and talk about the budgetary issues and needs for the town. This is the first step in planning and developing a budget, which has to be in place by July the 1st. And I will say one other thing. We are expected to have an approved budget in place on July 1st. Unlike our state legislature that last year was never able to really have an approved budget, and they kept extending and doing these provisional budget appropriations and everything throughout the whole year. It's beginning to sound like our state legislature is getting like the federal government, where they can't pass a budget either. But in Highlands, we will have that budget in place July 1st, like all the other municipalities, and it will be a public process. You will be able to come and hear what is said at the retreat. I'm suspecting that since we are in the community building this year with good video capabilities, that we'll probably broadcast it on our website for the whole day, so anybody can tune in and see what we're talking about. But it will be a public process, starting with that town retreat, followed by some workshops in the afternoon going into April, and then we will have our town manager present a proposed budget in the May board meeting, and then in the June meeting we will have a public hearing and get public input before we finally pass a budget that goes into place July the 1st.
I know for your town retreat you're showing restraint. You could go into the reserves, but of course you don't. We can go and watch and listen.
And I was writing about this in the newspaper this week on Mayor on Duty, and that was that I had the honor of doing a presentation at the Highlands Rotary Club this past Tuesday, the same day that the president was doing the State of the Nation.
I saw the State speech. Of the Town.
I got to talk and make a speech on the State of the Town before the Rotary Club. When you look at our budget, it's $40 million this year. We're not as rich as you think. For example, $23 million of that budget comes from fees that we have to collect to operate the electric department, the water and sewer department, and sanitation. That's a lot of money. They're called enterprise funds. We have acquired about $15, maybe even $60 million in grants, state grants, in the last few years. Most of those projects have not been completed, so we have to show those revenues in the budget. So when you look at 23 and 16, that puts you at $39 million. And then we have to account for all the other activities that we're doing, loans and the scholarship fund, for example, the endowment, that's $1.2 million. And people then say, well, what about tax revenues? And I will tell you what we get in tax revenues. We get from property taxes, everybody says, oh, that must be a fortune. In the relative numbers of our budget, it is only $3.2 million for this year for property taxes. Sales tax, you must get a tremendous amount. We're getting $1.56 million in sales tax this year. Fees coming from the state, from our operation, we're getting just under $500,000. That all adds up to about $5 million in the general fund. Plus, we use our reserve funds, which were this year around $10 million, we'll transfer some of those into the general fund to do projects that we really think we need to do, like road paving, sidewalks, and so forth. My point is, if you look at our general fund, it isn't as big as people think. We haven't had a property tax increase since 2014-15 for that budget year. Our tax rate right now is 10.22 cents per $100 of valuation. If we want to keep doing some of the things that people expect us to do, we're going to have to start looking down the road, not this year, but down the road, we're going to have to start looking at a possible tax increase. We can't keep taking money from our reserves and putting it in categories. Our finance director and our town manager says something has to change down the road. The days of just depending on reserve funds are gone because the state is now directing us on how we can use those funds, especially when it comes to enterprise fund reserve. I will say this, I was watching WLOS this week, and the finance director for Asheville said, well, we're projecting $30 million shortfall for the town of Asheville this year. And I really perked up listening. He was basically saying, you know, with Hurricane Helene disaster, we got a lot of money coming in, and that helped us address some issues. But those kind of monies are drying up now. And we still have needs, and we've got to decide what things will we fund. Do we cut back on certain services, or do we raise property taxes? And I would say raise property taxes again, because I know Asheville just did that very recently, and they've had a series of increases in property taxes to help fund their need. And they'll go through the same process that we will go through, like every municipality. They'll have their workshops, their retreats, and the boards will have to decide what is absolutely essential, how do we get the revenue, and how does that impact the tax rate. It's just a cycle that we all go through, and we will start that process for the town of Highlands on March the 11th.
Our Ottawa Mayor Patrick Taylor / Professor, what's going on in town? And you've been listening to Ask the Mayor Public Affairs Program with Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor. I'm Steve Day. And soon on WHLC.com, where the world gets to hear you. And a lot of people in Florida, Tennessee, when they go on vacation, they hunger for this.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that we continue to do this week after week, Steve.
It's great to see you come in. Thank you.